is Pastor Jim laid some very good foundation for my message this morning because, you know, for some of us, we did have a good 2008. Some of us, we didn't. And there's many around the country right now that are suffering right now due to the slumping economy. Coming into the new year, there are so many people with insecurities right now. Did you know that in November, over 500,000 Americans lost their jobs? And in November, it was the worst month in sales in 34 years. People are insecure about their jobs. They're insecure about the government. But in this dark time of insecurity, I want our last message of this year to focus on what we can be assured of, the blessed assurances of God. Despite what is happening in our economy, we cannot lose sight on what God has put us here for. Each of us individually have a purpose from God. Each of us have a mission. May not be full-time ministry or anything like that, but you have a purpose this morning. And it's so easy to lose sight of that in these dark times. Recently in my devotions, I was reading in the book of Colossians. The Apostle Paul said something very interesting in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, that really just hit me. And I want us to look there this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. I'd like us to look there. We're going to read that, and we're going to break those verses down. I'm going to be looking at the blessed assurances of the Lord this morning. For those who are using our Pew Bibles, does anybody have a page number? I'm sorry, what? 902 in the Pew Bibles. Well, I should say Pew Bibles, Chair Bibles, you know what I mean. Colossians 1, verses 15 through 23 says this: Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him God created everything, in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the body, head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And this includes you who were once far from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Verse 23. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Lord, bless the reading of your word this morning. Verse 23 is the real meat of our message. Paul instructs us to do two things in verse 23. He says to believe the truth, stand firm in it, and don't drift away from our assurance of the good news. For our last message here of 2008, I want us to focus on what we can be assured of in Christ and how standing firm in that assurance can make or break us. The first thing I want us to look at this morning is that you can be assured going forward that Christ is in control. Be assured that Christ is in control. Verses 15 through 17 says this, looking back, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything and was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. Skip down to verse 17 there. It says, he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. It's interesting. Today, we can be assured that Jesus Christ is in control of first our lives, everything that goes on in the world, and the entire universe. It's really amazing, isn't it, how so many people just, they don't feel they need God. Whether they verbally say it or think it or they just live it in their lives, people just do not believe they need Christ. Going back a good 27 years, in 1981, the Ladies' Home Journal asked back then who they trusted. They were given a list of people. God only got 3% of the vote. What's interesting is Billy Graham got more votes than God at 6%. If you're curious who got number one back then, it was Walter Cronkite at 40%. And in fact, in 1981, people were barely trusting God. You can bet times have probably gotten worse since then. People don't realize that without Christ, the universe would literally fall apart. Their lives would be destroyed, and everything around them would crumble. I mean, don't we see that happening? Listen, how many celebrities could we list? How many professional athletes can we list whose lives are just torn apart, who are just searching for something good because they're turning to drugs, alcohol, sex, you name it? Atheist Richard Dawkins, who is author of the book The God Delusion, he stated in an interview with Ben Stein from his movie Expelled, he said to Ben, "There is true freedom from the discovery that there is no God." Wow. It's not what we're being taught here. Yet we see what society is becoming as atheism and evolution are pushed upon us. Does anybody ever watch Dr. Phil? I do. I like Dr. Phil. I'm not gonna lie. I like Dr. Phil. I think he's a pretty good guy. It's just amazing how many families you see torn apart because Christ is nowhere near in their lives. You know, whether it's rebellious kids or the parents are out of control or whatnot. We see a society that is just being torn apart because people have no faith. They have no hope. Listen, when you see and look at society, it's easy to let worry and anxiety control you. But listen, we don't have to do that. What we need is to make sure we involve God in every aspect of our lives. Listen, if Christ has created everything, if Christ holds all creation together, doesn't it make sense to involve him in our problems and our decisions? Okay, you might not have to involve Christ in what you're going to eat for dinner tonight. I mean, you can ask him, that's fine. But listen, the big stuff in life, ask him. We proclaim that we know Jesus. We proclaim that, yeah, we trust you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But, you know, when we're not sure what to do when our finances are getting rough or, you know, it looks like we may be losing our jobs, do we really just get down on our hands and knees and say, God, what is going to happen? We need to ask God for wisdom. Listen, when we believe that God is in control, he'll provide. Listen, the surprises and the trials of life, they don't surprise God. They don't surprise him one bit. If we live with that truth in mind, anxiety can take a back seat in our lives. Now, if it makes sense that if Christ is in control this morning, then it obviously makes sense that he is in charge. The next thing that you can be assured of is that Christ is king. Verse 18, it says, "Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything." Pastor Jim touched on this a little bit. Most of us at one point have had an employer we didn't like, most likely. Either because they were greedy, they were ignorant, they didn't care about your needs, or they just thought they were better than others. At Stockton College, I see a lot of faculty upper heads that think they're better than other people. So I know what that's like. We all at some point have a boss that we don't like. Also, I'm sure many of us are quite fed up with our politicians in Washington. You know, we just finished another brutal election year, but still many people were just not satisfied with our leadership. 73% as of last month reported that they disapprove of Congress's job. 69% disapprove of the president's, and 65% feel the country is heading in the wrong direction. Sounds like people are losing a lack of trust. Listen, we may not be able to have total faith in our earthly leaders, but listen, this morning you can have assurance in our Heavenly Father and His Son. Christ is in charge and you can trust Him. Now, how does that give you assurance this morning? Listen, in your time of uncertainty, maybe you're not going through a time of uncertainty, but believe me, you will at some point in your life. It's easy to lose hope when trust is lost in earthly leadership. But look, this is what Jesus has to say about those who follow him. Matthew 11, verse 30 says this, "For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Jesus is a king that is merciful to us. He's a king that will readily supply his workers with whatever they need to accomplish the job he has given them. Listen now, always keep in mind that yes, some roads that Jesus may ask us to follow might seem rough. And maybe they will get a little rough. Maybe they might get a lot rough. I don't know. But the bottom line is God will supply what you need to get through that time. Matthew 6:33, popular passage of Scripture. "Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Listen, you can have assurance this morning that following our heavenly King will always lead to our needs being met. You will always have food on your, something to eat. You will have clothes on your back. God will provide some form of transportation. He'll provide a roof on your, over your head if you follow him. How do we follow him? I mean, I just read it. Put his kingdom first. Read your Bible. Listen, it's so amazing. People don't know what God wants them to do. The scriptures are full of instructions from the Lord of how he wants us to live our lives. If you haven't been reading your Bible, open it. Furthermore, another thing we need to make sure we're doing is, are we repenting of our sins? If we have sin in our life that we're just not dealing with, that could be a reason. That could be a reason why we're struggling. It could be a reason why we're in such worry about our needs. Another thing we need to do is surrender our thoughts and our dreams to our King. Listen, if we're going to call him our King this morning, doesn't that mean we need to surrender everything? If we're living our own life, following our own dreams, it doesn't sound like we're making Jesus our King. Sometimes Jesus' dreams are our dreams. Sometimes they're not. But you know what's also beautiful about our King is he gives us something that so many, that really none of our earthly leaders can give us. Peace. Peace of mind. The third thing this morning, you can be assured that Christ is our peace. Pastor Jim preached on this a couple weeks ago, and it is so true. Who wouldn't just love to just have peace of mind, relief from anxiety and the worries of this life? Verse 19 and 20 from our passage this morning says this, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything." Not some things, not half of everything, everything. "In heaven and on earth, by means of Christ's blood on the cross." I'll just ask, did anybody have a stressful holiday this year? You can be honest. I'll raise my hand. There were some times. Had some stressful holiday moments. Isn't it funny, though, how the holidays are supposed to be a time of joy and happiness and all that stuff, and they could just rip you apart because they're so stressful. I've noticed, as a side note, that holidays, sometimes you're supposed to get like rest in the holidays. A lot of times that doesn't happen. You feel like worn out from them. CNN.com reported this year that 80% of Americans were stressed this year during the holiday season. And many also too, because of the economy. Listen, it may not be the economy that you're worried about. Maybe there's problems at home that are stressing you out. Maybe there's issues. Maybe there's health issues. Who knows? Maybe there's problems going on at your job. You know, it's funny. Atheists will proclaim, as I just said a few minutes ago, that there's freedom from the knowledge that there is no God. Yet we see a society filled with such hopelessness that people turn to drugs, alcohol, sex to find meaning, and they feel empty. People are killing themselves out there because they feel there's no point to life. Is that freedom? The knowledge that there's no God, to find that there's no purpose to your life? I don't think so. Maybe you disagree with me. Peace can be hard to come by in our world. Did you know that in 4,000 years of recorded history, the entire globe has only seen 286 years where no wars occurred? That means throughout the entire globe, there was no war or conflict out of 4,000 years. Despite this lack of peace that the world offers, we see hope in God's word. In Colossians, Paul informs us that God, through Jesus, has made peace with everything on earth. And what does that mean for us this morning? It means that whatever comes our way, the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, is with you, and we have hope beyond this life that there is something better. It means that we have a purpose, that we have something to live for. It also means that we can have contentment, knowing that if we have peace with God, He'll surely get us through each day and provide for what we'll need. Listen, I'm not telling you that God is going to take away your problems this morning, but you will have the peace and the strength and the power to get through those problems. Whether there's problems at school, whether there are problems at your job, whatever the case, whether they're family issues, God may not take them away, but He will get you through it. One thing I do know is that we need peace of mind in this world, and it's hard to find sometimes. I want us to look at real quick, if you can hold your place in Colossians, if you want to turn to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. Listen, while you're turning there, if you're without peace this morning, we're going to look at it right here. The Bible tells us clearly how to find it. For the church Bibles, what is a page number? Do we have that? 899 for Philippians 4. Oh, 901. There we are, 901. Verses 4, 6 through 7. It says this: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. And look at this. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Listen, you can be assured of God's peace for this coming year. But look, the scriptures tell us right here, if you want peace, you need to do something first. Talk to God. Listen, something may be on your heart, but simply just say, God, this is really, really bothering me. I need your help. And be specific. Pray about it. If you're not having peace this morning, have you been talking to the Lord? Have you been telling Him why you haven't had peace? Second, be thankful. Pastor Jim, we just raised our hands a little while ago, giving thanks to the Lord. Look, if you're sitting here this morning and you don't have peace, or you find a time in your life where you're just not having peace, are you asking yourself? You got to ask yourself, have I been thankful? Have I really sat down to the Lord and said, praise you, God, for whatever, for the little things in life? Analyze yourself to see if you are always finding yourself wanting instead of being satisfied. Listen, you can have assurance going forward in your life this morning that you can experience real peace. Not because life is going good necessarily, but because God is standing right by your side, ready to help. In the year 1555, there was a martyr by the name of Nicholas Ridley. He was burned at the stake because of his witness for Christ. The night before he died, his brother came to offer him, you know, to be with him and to comfort him during his last night. But Ridley declined, saying it was all right. And he planned for his last night getting the best sleep that he had ever experienced. And he did. All because he had the peace of God, knowing he was going to die the next day. He had the assurance of God's peace in his heart. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And one of the reasons that we can have peace this morning is our fourth point. You can be assured that Christ has made us holy and blameless. Verse 22 of Colossians 1 says, yet now He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him. Look at that last few words, without a single fault. There are many people, Christian and non-Christians, who probably have no real idea of what Jesus did for them. Many know He died on a cross. But that's all they know. The reason I say that is because people are still trying to get into heaven by doing good deeds. Even Christians. People who call themselves Christians. Listen, that alone shows they don't understand the cross at all. And look, this New Year's, I want to state this truth to you so you'll understand it. If you are here today and you believe that by being a good person or living a good life you'll get into heaven, you're mistaken. If you trust in what you do to save you for the sins you've committed, you will end up in hell. If you've ever lied, if you've ever cheated, mistreated your parents, looked with lust in your heart, or committed any sin, it doesn't matter how small the sin is, there's no deed that you can do to make up for it, no matter how big the deed is. You need a Savior this morning. When you ask Jesus to be your Savior and repent, repentance means you agree to stop sinning, Jesus makes you without a single fault before the throne of God. When God sees you, He doesn't see your sin. He sees you, look, as if you were perfect. And I'm not kidding. I'm sure many of us, you know, if we were willing, could sit here and list the many sins that we've committed, the things we struggle with, and we know we're not perfect. But listen, Jesus was perfect when He was on the earth. And that is why He was able to die for our sins. But we can have assurance going forward this morning in this beautiful truth that we can live without guilt or shame because Jesus has made us perfect and holy before the throne of God. Listen, how can this help us? I'll tell you how this helps us. Our enemy, the devil, loves to stomp guilt down on you this morning. Listen, feeling guilty can hurt us in so many ways. The devil loves us to feel like we're no good and we'll just give up trying. Listen, when we sin, look, and I say when because even as believers, even if you love the Lord with all your heart, you're going to mess up. You're just going to mess up because we're still human beings. God will convict you by the Holy Spirit. But once we repent of that sin, that's it. And you are forgiven. Any guilt that comes after you say you're sorry and you mean it to God comes either from us or it comes from the evil one. This truth gives us the assurance that if we are living for God, we won't be just cast aside by God when we mess up. Listen, no, God doesn't work like that. If you're living for Jesus and you mess up, don't be, you know, some really get afraid with their faith because they feel, oh my gosh, you know, I sin, I'm not saved. Some people feel they're saved, not saved, etc., you know, when they mess up. No, it doesn't work like that. Listen, when you mess up, you're still saved. You're still right with God. As long, like I said, as we keep going forward with God and repent. And I say to you, yes, that listen, we're going to mess up, but that doesn't give us an excuse to sin deliberately. You can't say to God, well, I'm going to mess up, but anyway, I'm just going to do this. No. Understand that today you can live in real freedom from guilt, because in God's sight you were without a single fault because of what Jesus did for you. And besides guilt, the other factor that some Christians face sometimes is the worry that they're not really even saved. The New Testament tells us, listen, point blank, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that means not only acknowledging Him as Lord of the universe, but acknowledging Him as Lord of your life, if you believe He rose from the dead, if you believe He died for your sins, if you confess and repent of your sins, you will be saved. Not for what you've done, but for what Christ done. You can have assurance in your salvation this morning. You can have assurance in real freedom from guilt and shame because of what Jesus did. And listen, we're starting to close this morning, and my fifth point is this. You can be assured that you can be assured. Verse 23, it says this, "But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news." In closing, Paul is telling us here, he's commanding us really, to be firm in our faith and be assured of the things we believe in. Look, if we're constantly worrying about Christ's control, about our leadership, about our salvation, which will eliminate peace right there, listen, life will have no joy. Here's Here's a story from John Wesley's life on the example of doubting your salvation. Once John Wesley had been preaching, and someone came up to him and said, "Are you sure, Mr. Wesley, of your salvation?" And he answered, "Well, Jesus Christ died for the whole world." The man replied, "Yes, we believe all that, but are you sure that you're saved?" Wesley replied that he was sure that provision had been made for his salvation. Once again, the man asked, "Are you sure, though, that you are saved?" And it went like an arrow to his heart, and he had no rest or power until that question was settled. Listen, many men and women go on month after month, year after year, without power because they do not know their standing in Christ. They are not sure of their own footing for eternity. And so many people are disqualified for service because they continually doubt their own salvation. Now listen, I'm going to apply this to the other points where we've been talking about. Listen, you can be disqualified for service in the kingdom, which doesn't mean you're not saved, but it means that you're not filled with the power because you're constantly worrying about all these other things of life. This morning, you can have assurance. And to be honest, as I read from verse 23, the scriptures are telling us to be assured. You can believe it, and it's not a sin to have assurance in it. It's not boastful. If God promises you something, you can be sure of it. Now listen, and I want to just back up. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have doubts. No. Listen, we've all had doubts. It's natural, to be honest with you. But listen, when we have doubts, we need to take them before the Lord. We need to be honest with Him. And God will strengthen us. We're going to have doubts. So if you have doubts, don't freak out. I'm not saying that that's sin. But listen, if you allow those doubts to turn into worry, if you allow that worry to turn into anxiety, it's going to hinder your relationship with God. It's going to hinder your work for the kingdom. And it's just going to make life miserable. For this new year, we need to take a look at what the Bible says of the promises of God. I listed just a few here this morning from the book of Colossians. The scriptures are full of beautiful promises to each one of us that God has given. And we can be assured of each one. I challenge you, starting today, starting throughout the next year, search the scriptures. If you have to, I'm sure there's booklets out there about the promises of God. Search the scriptures. See what God promises to each one of us. Yes, we know about salvation, but there's so much more. There's so much more that God has promised us. Listen, we need to take hold of all these promises in our hearts and cherish them. We need to take great assurance in the blessings of Christ because we'll have hope. A key thing to remember is that in order to have any of the assurances of God's promises, you need to make sure in your own life that first you have repented of your sins and you've made Him Lord, that you are living for Him. You may say, "All right, I've repented of my sins," and mean that, but are you living for Him? Are you trying to grow in a relationship with Him? Are you trying to reach the lost for Jesus? Are you trying to help out at your church and find out where God wants you? Remember as well that if you make a mistake or if you struggle in any area, listen, God's not going to cast you aside. Look, if we genuinely seek Him and confide in Him, He will do great and awesome things. The 2.5 years I've been here at Solid Rock Worship Center since this church has been planted, I've seen God do miracles. I've seen people be healed. I've seen God provide miraculously for this church. And I know that God has got so much more planned for us, for this community, for each of you. Listen, let's finish 2008 the right way, and let's begin 2009 with great excitement, with a firm grip on our faith. If we let God, He can do awesome and amazing things through you. You know, if you want to get involved more with the church, ask Pastor Jim or I. We'll help you out. Listen, seek God. Seek Him through the scriptures. And I'm telling you, He will do awesome and amazing things for you. Let's pray this morning. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. We just worship You, God. Lord, we just thank You this morning. We thank You for the peace of God which You give us. But Lord, we praise You that we can have assurance, true assurance, God, in the promises of God. Lord, You've given us so much more than just salvation alone. You have given us promises of Your control over our lives, of Your leadership, Lord Jesus. You have made us holy and blameless before your throne, Almighty God. Lord, I pray that you would just challenge us in this upcoming year. That you would challenge us to new heights in our relationship with you, God. That you would push our faith, Lord. That you would push our faith. That we would grow, Lord. And we would see the lost coming to you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I pray that you would just speak to all hearts here this morning, God. Maybe there are hearts here, God, that are struggling with doubt, struggling with fear, struggling with anxiety. I pray that you would meet those doubts, God, that you would comfort and give them faith, encourage them, Lord Jesus, this morning. Father, we love you. And God, I just pray that you would just work on each heart and just encourage each person as to where you are leading them, what you want them to do, Lord God. May we just have a blessed and safe new year, God, just worshiping and praising you. And we give you all the glory for all these wonderful promises. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Jim.
Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. What a good and challenging word today. As you were there, I couldn't help but think, you know, sometimes we'll hear people, and even in the church, it can sneak in the thoughts of, you know, my sin is too great. You know, perhaps somebody could sit through the message today, maybe you, but Pastor, you don't know my sin. Perhaps some could say, my depression is too dark. You don't know how dark it is. It sounds good, but you don't know. Others can say, my disease is too painful. You don't know. We're talking about assurance, and I got you, but what I'm going through is too much. My financial situation is too strained. You don't know. Today, I want to give you this question. If that is one of your concerns, my marriage is too messed up. You don't know. My thought is this, perhaps your Jesus is too small. Perhaps your Jesus is too small. Bobby shared today, awesome passage. He is supreme over all creation. Our Jesus isn't small. Sometimes in our heart, we can stick Jesus in a little box, and he reigns and rules. He's king. Don't let your Jesus be too small. Ask God to enlarge your faith this year. That you would really, really go from our head. See, that's the transition we have to make. From the preaching of the word, the writing it down, the seeing it on the screen. It has to go from our head into our heart. And I pray that this week, that those truths, that Jesus is in control, that would hit your heart. Your Jesus is big. My Jesus is huge. He can handle my problems. In fact, Peter tells us, cast all your cares before him because he cares for us. Jesus is king. He can bring peace to any darkness. Remember the disciples freaking out on the boat, waves hitting. They're, wake up, Jesus. What in the world are you doing sleeping? We're going to die. He gets up. All right, well, how long do I got to put up with you guys? Peace be still. Can I go back to bed now? Are you guys all right? You know, the creator of the world is in the boat sleeping. You're going to be okay. And yet he got up. Peace be still. Your Jesus is huge. Holy and blameless. Be assured. Thank you, Bobby, so much for sharing today. He's big. You can get through. You can get through. You plus Jesus. Man, now that's a team, isn't it? Isn't that a team? We trust him because we believe him, because we have faith in him, because he is awesome.